Welcome to the Health Fix Podcast, where health junkies get their weekly fix of tips, tools, and techniques to have limitless energy, sharp minds, and fit physiques for life. Hey, health junkies. On this episode of the Health Fix Podcast, I'm interviewing lawyer Corey Sterling. He is a lawyer that specializes, and so does his team, specializes in helping folks like naturopaths, heart-centered wellness folks, fitness industry folks, yogis, folks of that nature, to be protected legally in our missions to help others. And I brought Corey on because I wanted to kind of open up the conversation for both sides of the party here in terms of us folks who are in the health and wellness industry, but also for those of you out there that might be seeking a coach and wondering, what can I do to negotiate a proper relationship? You know, what kind of things can I do to protect myself? What kind of things can I do to make sure that this person I'm working with is legit? I'm not going to be taken for my money. I mean, these are things we think about when you are in the online space. And so Corey is hilarious. He's got a lot of great, great advice here. This is like, I mean, years of legal 101 that I probably should have had decades ago. So you guys are going to enjoy this podcast. So let's introduce you to probably the most fun I've ever had talking to a lawyer, Corey Sterling.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another lovely episode of the Health Fix Podcast. Today, we're tweaking it a little bit in something that I think everyone should really be thinking about when it comes to their health. And I'm talking with lawyer Corey Sterling, and he is probably the most entertaining lawyer that I have talked to date. He's got a personality. I've watched some of this stuff online. And you know what? I'm excited to talk. So, hey, Corey, welcome to Health Fix Podcast.
Dr. Janine, thank you so much for having me. And I love that your community are health junkies. I feel right at home. I'm in the right place. Healthy people who want to get healthier and who are all about putting their attention and focus there. So thank you for having me.
Hey, my pleasure, because you know, it's not that often that I get to be in the presence of a lawyer and talk legal things and not feel like pitting out and sweating. And definitely you've honed in on that in your marketing and how you talk to folks. So of course, because this is a podcast and folks love stories, how did you become to be a lawyer? And then how did you get into helping folks that are in the health industry like me? So give us kind of the scoop as to your background here.
Yeah, I'm excited to tell you all about my background, but I think also it's funny that you say in the presence of a lawyer.
Yes.
And I think that's to me, that's so fascinating because I think in terms of my self-identity, I see myself maybe 20% as a lawyer and then the other 80% are the other activities I have and the places I go and my friends and things that I do. So it's interesting. It's more like I see it more that I have a technical skill that I studied to obtain and I help people in a certain way, but it's like, I am a lawyer, but I'm, you know, I don't really see myself as such, even though I spend so much time doing it. And I think part of that is because of how people react to lawyers, right? Like even just saying, oh, I'm in the presence of a lawyer. It's like, I'm just a dude who's eating salad. Like what's, you know, it's no, there's nothing really here going on. So my path by no means unfolded in a straight line to becoming a lawyer. I used to work in the NFL. I did a master's in sport management. And then I traveled the world for a couple of years and I didn't really know where I was going to go with my career or where I wanted to take it. At this point, I was like 26, 27. All of my friends were settling down, had great careers, were putting mortgages down, buying properties, starting families. And I was like, you know, the backpacker living in hostels, which for a long time that served me and was who I wanted to be. But I reflected on a lot of conversations I had when I worked in the NFL. I got to meet the commissioner, Roger Goodell. I got to meet executives at ESPN and I had a massive big network. And I always asked them the same question. I said, what advice would you give to yourself 20 years ago? And they all said, I would have told myself to get an MBA or go to law school. And so I wish I was saying that I, you know, as a child, I was always arguing and I wanted to be right. So I became a lawyer, but more it was like, I sort of ran out of options. I was like, okay, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. So maybe I'll go into law. And I loved law school, fell in love with it. And when I was in law school, I was convinced that I was going to be a criminal defense lawyer. I was like, I loved arguments. I loved interrogating. I loved trying to extract information in a certain way and tell a story. And then I went, after I graduated, I spent one day with a criminal lawyer in court with him. It wasn't even a day, it was like 3 hours. And I just left and I was like, never, I will not do this. And so, you know, I think one thing, and I'm sure any of the health coaches or naturopaths or anyone who's listening will have a similar part of the story where, like, the only way you can learn about what you want is by trying something. So I interviewed, I took a job at a big law firm. The first file that I worked on, get ready for this, Dr. Janine, you're going to love it. The first file I worked on was defending a tobacco company. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool, this is what I spent all that money for and all those years to do. And I did not like the work, the office culture, the work culture of being in a big law firm. It didn't fit me. And at the time I was practicing yoga and teaching group fitness, and all of my friends and community were in the yoga and fitness space. And so I was just like chilling with them. And then one story happened where I went to a yoga class and my friend was doing it in their apartment building. Really, really popular teacher, a lot of followers, and no one signed a waiver. We were outside of the studio. The insurance didn't cover them for participating in that particular space. Someone got injured and I just went up afterwards. I was like, do you realize, you know, your exposure to liability and what can happen? And it just went over their head. And then I started having conversations with other of my friends in the fitness and wellness industries, and no one knew anything about the law at all. Yeah. So I realized that there was a gap. And then in 2017, I started my own firm called Conscious Counsel, and I did it a bit differently. Traveling has always been the greatest passion of my life and the thing that I've always wanted to do. So I just said, screw it. I'm going to choose to work with awesome heart leading clients and practice law in a different way. And I'm going to travel when I do it. And I had $3,000 in the bank and I bought a one-way ticket to Copenhagen. And I was like, okay, cool. If the money runs out and I get no clients and nobody wants to work with me because I can't meet them for coffee, then I'll just come back and take a job and I'll have tried. And I'm happy to say 5.5 years later, I'm still on that same trip, just wandering around, working online. And since then, the business has grown tremendously. We've got over 1,000 clients. We've got 300 five-star Google reviews. And we work now predominantly with health coaches, yoga studios, yoga professionals, fitness professionals, and anyone really in that retreat or health and fitness industry. So it's been a long, wild ride. And that's a little bit about me.
I love it. I love it. And I love that you address it in the presence, because I feel the same. A lot of people will do the same to me as being a doctor. And I'm like, man, I'm just a chick that happens to have a degree in that. And I wanted to own a ski resort is where I was back when I was 15. I was like, I'm going to be a lifty and I'm just going to work my way up. And Vail Resorts kind of crushed that for me. But hey, you know, you got to start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. So, you know, I think a lot of people, and myself included, you know, we're so heart-centered. We don't think that anything bad would happen, right? We're not those people that would be like, oh, you know, I got to think of all the terrible things. We think of all the good things. We get excited about our missions. And it's true. We tend not to think of the legal aspect of things. And I'll be honest, I definitely hemmed and hawed about, oh, do I need to contact a lawyer? And I think for a lot of people in this industry, and a lot of people who are utilizing the coaching and fitness industry, I think what either side that you're on, there's risks for both, and knowing what you're getting into on each side. And one of the things I wanted to talk about, because a lot of folks who are listening are probably either into fitness, because I talk about it all the time, adventuring, hiking, biking, whatever it may be. And they might go on retreats. They might go to these pop-up yoga sessions. And, you know, what are the things that they should be thinking about in addition to the folks who are running it? And so I definitely want to take this conversation in both different directions. So first and foremost, let's talk about the folks who are going to these events. If, you know, what should they be looking for to make sure that they're covered on their end should something happen?
The first thing that you have to know, Dr. Janine, is that at law, there is something that is called a duty of care. Okay. Mm-hmm. So a duty of care is invisible, but it basically, the way that it works is the law and different pieces of legislation that were passed by government and that have existed for, you know, however long since they've come into effect. There's a general rule that if someone is facilitating an activity for another person or providing guidance in a doctor-patient role or attorney-client role or in a you know, teacher-student role, whatever it is, you have a responsibility at law to make sure that whoever is facilitating the experience ensures the person participating does not suffer damages. So in plain English, it's invisible, but when you accept a student or you participate in a retreat or you host a retreat or whatever it is, you have a responsibility, whoever is facilitating or hosting has to make sure that whoever participates doesn't get hurt or suffer damages, right? Mm-hmm. Suffering damages could be property gets stolen. It could be mental trauma. It could be physical injuries. It could be all these sorts of things. So that's the basis for everything. That's just like one blanket thing I want to throw out there so that mm-hmm. both people who are attending event and hosting an event can understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that's important to know about this relationship is that contractually, there's a rule at law, which is that two people can agree to anything mm-hmm. so long as it is not illegal. Mm-hmm. Right? If there's something that's illegal, like let's say there's certain consumer protection laws that exist, that just inherently exist in any transaction. But if I'm signing up for something, and so long as that agreement does not break or violate any laws or any rules, then two parties can agree to anything. Okay?
Okay.
The last thing I want to share as well, and this is just going to contextualize why it's important to read agreements for someone who's going to a pop-up yoga class or working with a coach or something like that. The third agreement is that the third principle to understand is the idea behind an agreement or a contract is that, okay, these two people are doing something together. So everything that's included on this piece of paper is what the intentions of the parties were before they started working together. Obviously, okay, hey, you're going to be my client or you're coming to this yoga event or you're coming on this retreat. Here's everything. The rule is that if something is not included, the first position and assumption is that the people in the relationship did not intend to include it. Mm-hmm. So if something's not there and you're going to be like, oh, but like, it's so obvious, you know, refunds. Obviously, I wanted a refund if I wasn't going to go and I paid $10,000 for a retreat or whatever it is. But then again, if something is not included in an agreement and it's the intention of the parties to be bound by it and the provision is not illegal, then you are bound by and to it. So mm-hmm. On the two different hands, on one hand, this highlights the importance for business owners and facilitators to create the types of relationships that they want and have documents that specifically protect them based on the relationship they want to have and how their business operates. And secondly, for a consumer or someone or a participant, it is really important that you read and understand these agreements to understand what you're agreeing to. So everyone who's listening, hands up right now, and I know we've all done it, hands up if you've clicked, I agree to something without having read all of it. Yeah, me too, like iTunes updates, I don't know what that is. I have an iPhone, I don't know what I'm agreeing to, but I've agreed to all of it. Once I do that, I'm bound to their license terms or whatever it is. So what I would say is, let's just start with someone. Okay, I'm going on a retreat or I'm going to a pop-up yoga class or something like that, and I'm signing an agreement. Now, it depends on the big thing that you want to understand is, okay, what do I feel comfortable with in this relationship and what do I want to have? And is that reflected in this document? Mm-hmm. If you're going to a pop-up yoga class and it's $15 and you're going to pay whatever, okay, one transaction, just one time, you know, you'd look through the waiver of liability to see if there's anything unexpected or anything weird in there. But typically for a one-off like that, it's not as dramatic or as important, just right. Because you can assume, okay, they've got a waiver and they're hosting this, so I'm going to sign it. But when it comes to things like working with a coach, working with a doctor, participating on a retreat, you're going to want to look at what the terms of the agreement say and don't look at it in a super boring or feeling overwhelmed sort of way. The way you want to think of it is like, okay, cool. Well, I'm about to participate in this relationship. Mm-hmm. What are the rules of this relationship that I'm participating in? And am I cool with them? So like, as an example, I have a client who worked with a high ticket coach, okay? Mm-hmm. And didn't read the agreements, you know, signed, sort of agreed to all of it beforehand, just went with it. Mm-hmm. It ended up being that she signed up for 20 sessions. She paid, you know, over $30,000 mm-hmm. to work with this coach. After the first session, she's like, not the right fit. This is not for me. I've just paid $30,000. And, you know, and so the first question I have always is, okay, what, and so everyone knows the lawyer's first question is always going to be, what was written in the agreement? Because there's an old adage in law school that it doesn't matter what happens. It matters what you're able to prove. Mm-hmm. And the highest form of proof or evidence is an executed, signed, written agreement between two parties. That's the platinum level. That's the best that you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And so my client, you know, hired me to look into it and challenge the agreement and all of these things. And in some ways I'm like, well, you know, didn't you want to say to the coach, hey, like, you know, is there a trial period or what happens, you know, what happens if I don't like it after three sessions or something like that? She's like, No, I just paid, like, she has a good Instagram. I thought that it would be the right fit, which is like, you'd be surprised how often that's the response I get. And excuse me. And then just to sort of wrap this story up to illustrate the importance on the coach's side, she paid me to look at the agreement. The agreement was not drafted properly. The coach did not use a lawyer to draft those agreements. And I was able to challenge it and recover more than 90% of the price for the clients that they paid. So it's sort of just like a small illustration of, on the consumer end, like not reading the agreement, not becoming comfortable with it, you know, turning your mind to things like, okay, maybe trial period or payment in installments, or if I'm not satisfied, this is what we're going to do, or this is how it'll work. And the last thing I'll say just before I wrap this up is, what I always tell clients to do in some ways, and as a lawyer, there's a course in law school that's called How to Think Worst Case Scenario. So they train your, I'm joking. It was just a joke.
I actually believed you. I was like, really?
Okay. I have another similar joke where I'll be like, there's a course in law school that's called How to Not Give a Direct Answer. Cause lawyers always be like, yeah. It depends. But, mm-hmm. But the important thing to know, I lost my train of thought.
They were just such good jokes that, you know.
Sometimes that's the cost of being funny, I suppose.
No. You know, first you were talking, second you were talking about, you know, how to not give a direct answer. But the other part was that there's a course on, the other course was on how to, see, now I'm like, I was so struck by the other one, I can't go back either. It was how
okay. Yeah. So the principle being, okay, so my client, we got the money back. The agreement was bad. Okay. How to think worst case scenario. That was the stellar joke that we made. So basically what I always say to clients who are going to sign an agreement, and I would say my work is probably 90% working for the coach or working for the studio or working for the business owner and not for the direct consumer. But that being said, what I would say to anyone listening is if it's a significant investment of time and money in an agreement that you're signing, just think like, oh, like write down five things. Like, what are five things that could go wrong that this wouldn't work? Like the services suck. They don't deliver on time. They're not responding to me, all of these things. And like, just look at the agreement and be like, is this included in the agreement? And if not, can I put those terms in?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, the other side of this, and tell, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, sometimes with these agreements, you can negotiate them based on talking, you know, what your relationship's going to be. Obviously a one-off yoga thing, not what I'm talking about, but more in the case of relationships with docs and negotiating that, or even business things. When you get into the health and fitness industry, I found that I've seen friends have some seriously terrible things happen when agreements weren't drafted up in the first place and negotiated in the first place.
Yeah, Dr. Janine, you're so spot on. And the first online course I ever made, I had a module which was called You Have Permission to Negotiate. And part of Conscious Counsel, my law firm, our mission is to transform the way legal services are provided to heart-leading fitness and wellness entrepreneurs. Like, so I'm committed to transforming the whole legal paradigm. That's everything. And one of the hardest things for me to tell my clients is you do not have to accept the terms of an agreement. You are allowed, doesn't make you a bad person. You're not going to lose the deal. If you say to someone, hey, can we change this around? Can we move this? Because oftentimes when it comes to things like contract negotiation, people put up a block, they feel scared. Mm-hmm. They don't feel confident in their ability to do it, but it's just like negotiating anything. It's like driving on the highway. Like you're trying to turn left. There's another car there. Okay. Sometimes you're going to go, sometimes you're not, you're going to back off. Like it's the same with an agreement. Okay. How aggressive should I be? How passive should I be? And so that's really important for everyone listening to remember. And the second thing also, which it's difficult, it's not difficult, but it's a very big misconception. And what I always say to my clients is the person who is using their own agreements is always going to have a better legal position. Because when a client hires me to draft a studio membership agreement or a coaching agreement or an online course agreement, whatever it is, I'm speaking to the client. I'm like, okay, cool. Give me your best case scenario of what this relationship looks like with you and your clients. And then they're going to tell me, and then we're going to post it and we'll include it on the terms of the checkout and they'll click the box and all the things are whatever. Someone who's signing that is going to look at it. And sometimes people just think that contracts are objectively drafted. Like there's some, you know, a deity contract deity that just produces completely down the middle contracts where it's absolutely the opposite, that whoever is providing the contract has decided to have the legal terms of those relationship favor them as much as possible. So that's also why I'm just such an advocate for people having their own agreements, communicating their own terms, and get the other person to agree to what you want instead of you just signing something without really understanding that gives them full control.
Right. Right. It seems that having a conversation, and this is something that I've done when I've done my higher ticket counseling with folks and or coaching with folks, it's really like, hey, let's talk about the agreement. Let's read it. You know, you read it over, take a, you know, time, and then let's have a conversation. Cause I feel like the conversation up front saves you in the long run from having to do refunds, from having to do different things. I mean, I think talking the relationship out is good in this case.
It's not good. It's perfect. it's really what needs to be done. And I acknowledge you for that, Dr. Janine, because the big thing when I first started this 5 years ago, I realized the most common problem was between two parties legally that would come across my desk or my inbox would be two people who had misaligned expectations around a particular relationship.
Yep.
And that's all that it is. So you're so right that if you take that step of give someone the agreement, hey, have a look at this. This is how we're going to work together. You know, take a mandatory 24-hour period to review. And then in 24 hours, if you want to hop on a conversation and talk about it and sign it, I'm happy to move forward with you. Because so many of the problems that I have to resolve are around things that were never communicated. And it's like in interpersonal relationships. If you're not in communication, and you're not communicating what your expectations are out of a relationship, there's bound to be problems. And the point of investing in legal documents and being legally prepared is that exactly what you stated, that you're proactively addressing the relationship. Everyone's clear on what's happening and how it's moving forward. And that's how you minimize problems or issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, obviously I've made mistakes along the way. I've been doing this 15 plus years. And so I've learned like, you got to talk about things because otherwise, yeah, I've had to give refunds. I've had to, you know, do certain things along the way and things happen. Right. But, and with communication, this is kind of what I wanted to talk about too with you, because so many folks get nervous about all the legal stuff, but really it's facilitation of communication. And that's where I see lawyers helping us, is you're facilitating us to have the right words in there, helping make sure we didn't miss something. And then it's our job, of course, to be able to communicate what we're working with folks so that they understand both sides. Would you agree that communication for the folks on the other side of things, and this is kind of, I shouldn't say what I agree, because of course I think you agree. We've just talked about it, but what am I asking you? I think I'm asking you, if someone is going to take 24 hours and look at something, do you recommend that they sit down and write down little points, little areas of where they're like, oh, that doesn't feel good, or oh, I'm not really sure about that, or well, what's yes, the process in those 24 hours? What should they do?
100%, and just what you were alluding to, I really, you're spot on, and you put it brilliantly, in that lawyers are facilitators of conversations, and that's why the tricky thing to explain to people is that they think that law is different on a day-to-day basis, like day-to-day, issue-to-issue, relationship-to-relationship. It's very different, especially in our industry, than what's actually going out in the real world, right? So, okay, if you're in the state of Texas, the Texas state legislature is meeting today and they're gonna pass a law and all of these things and all of that's going on. And people like are like, oh, well, that's the courthouse and that's, so this is really where law takes place. But that's, for the most part, that's not relevant to our industry and being a small business owner or consumer in health and fitness, because it's such a small minority of the population of people that are dealing with these things, that people, there's a misconception about what law really is. And so just to circle back to your point that, yeah, to me, what law really is setting people up with documents so that they're legally protected, that communicate their expectations with people. And so when you're able to see law like that, reading an agreement, let's say, okay, I'm working with a coach and I'm going to sign an agreement. Mm-hmm. I'm not thinking about the legislation and the appeals and what the Court of Appeals said about this. Like, no, I'm a normal person living a normal life and I want to get coaching to improve my marketing or whatever it is. And so what it really is exactly what you said. Like, okay, let's say you're taking the 24-hour grace period before signing an agreement, 100% look at it and be like, is this comfortable for me? Are these the things that I like? What could be better about this? You know, if there's, let's say there's a provision in there, I'm working with a coach and there's something about cancellation or time zones, right? Like, let's say I'm traveling. I like, I know that I travel a lot for work and I'm going to have meetings with my coach, but maybe I'm going to have to reschedule. Should I put something like that in there? Mm-hmm. And it just, all that it does is, it's like it's vetting the relationship, because this is what's going to happen. This is what I always say. This typically happens for me with partners who want to start an LLC and be members together or shareholders in a company. When I see people fighting at the start, that's always what I always say to them is like, if you're fighting now at the start and having disagreements, I don't tell them not to start their business, because that's not my role to say, but I just say you should figure out how to communicate well with each other very quickly, or I don't believe that it's going to work, because all of the failures around business partnerships that I've seen, all of them were preceded by miscommunication, misalignment upfront, just two people who don't communicate well together. And really let's say I'm thinking of going on a retreat or working with a coach or whatever it is that's happening. Okay. I get the agreement. There's some shady things in there. There's like, okay, I have to pay all of it upfront. There's no refund. And they can change the venue whenever they want, as an example, mm-hmm. right? Okay, so I'm sitting, I'm reviewing, I'm like, no, that's not cool. So I would send the retreat organizer or retreat host a note and be like, hey, what's up with these things? And then now you're in communication, and that's when either the growth of the, or the failure will begin. And they're really both growth, because it's gonna be growth that if you're bringing up something, a raised concern that you have, and the other person reacts in a very poor way, and they're like, no, well, we reserve the right to do this and we can do whatever we want. And it's your choice to come with us and it's going to be sold out anyways. You can be like, okay, cool. I can choose not to enter this relationship, however awesome it might have seemed at the start. Conversely, when there's a problem and you're able to talk it through and say, hey, you know what? I wasn't really comfortable about this. Is it possible to pay in installments or extend the refund period or whatever it is? And the person's like, yeah, totally. I get it. You know, it's either going to bring you closer to having a better relationship or push you further away. And the sooner you can do that, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's huge. I think that's huge, because I hear from a lot of my patients, oh, I've seen, you know, or done different online detox programs or whatever, and I didn't like it. And this happened and that happened. And basically expectations weren't met. And, you know, when I look at that, I go, okay, yeah, communication. This is part of the issue. Now, a lot of people in the health and fitness and naturopathic doctor industry are like, well, why can't we just talk about this? Why do we have to have it on paper? And why do we need to get a lawyer involved? And this is what the million-dollar question that I actually had someone submit to me, because I always ask when I'm interviewing certain people, what do you guys want to learn? And one of my folks was like, well, if we just have the conversation and we're open in our communication about our expectations, why do we need to have a lawyer involved? So I already kind of know the answer, but I'm going to let you explain this one for folks.
Do you want to take a stab at it first?
Yes. I'll say exactly what I've learned from my own experience, because if it's not on paper, we forget what we talked about. And then we have misinterpretations of what the conversation was, how it went. And so it keeps both sides of the party in agreement of what they originally said versus interpretations. That's what I've
learned. Okay. I love it. And you get full points for that. And I'm going to address that particular point. Do not let me forget to talk about legal position.
Yeah. Because
legal position is the answer for me. So, but in respect to that, here's a great reason why it makes sense to have things written down by a lawyer and in a signed contract. Okay. Mm-hmm. It really is. Think of the word accountability. Mm-hmm. Accountability. It's a signed contract with a back. It's like the highest form of accountability, because there can be no question whether or not you agreed to it. Mm-hmm. You realize that if you're breaking it, there are going to be actual repercussions against you.
Yep.
And see, if you're the one who needs to fix the problem, you can do so in a very neutral, non-confrontational way. So how I teach all of my clients, if let's say they've sold a coaching agreement or whatever it is they sell, and they're having a problem with payment or an issue with a client, I always say, like, I'll hop on a quick call. I'm like, cool, this is what you have to do. You send whoever you're having a problem with, you send them a copy, like a screenshot. I call it the screenshot defense. Mm-hmm. A screenshot of the agreement that was signed by both parties. You highlight the particular provision. You circle the particular issue that comes up. And you say, hey, Dr. Janine, before we started working together, you know, we communicated our expectations and made a legally binding promise. In the event that ABC would happen, we agreed that DEF would be the result. ABC has happened, and yet DEF has not resulted. What, and then like the magic sentence is, what can we do to restore integrity in the relationship? Mm-hmm. Like that is what you write. It's not I'm right and you're wrong and you said this and I said this. It's like, it is 100% concrete, clear, exactly what we agreed to. You're acting out of you're not in alignment. You've broken the rule that we made. Instead of me calling you names and telling you how bad you are and stalking you on, you know, trolling you on social media or whatever, all I'm in a very polite way. It's like, hey, this is what we agreed. It's not happening. How can we get there? And there's such a better response that clients get from that than, oh, but when we started and this and like, exactly, you know, finger pointing and he said, she said, and all that sort of stuff. So that's one of the answers. The other answer that I want to give and just share about why it's important to have agreements drafted by a lawyer. Mm-hmm. You, the listener, must appreciate what a legal position is and why it's so important. Okay. So a legal position means something has happened between two people, and at law, according to the rules of law, one person is going to have a better legal position than the other, right? Mm-hmm. If I've had you sign a waiver of liability where I specifically outline the activities we're doing, the equipment we're using, the risks of participating, what the outcomes of those risks are, if I've told you everything and it's all properly done and signed and you get injured and while we work together and I told you that that injury was foreseeable and you agreed not to hold me legally responsible, but then you get injured and you send me a letter and say, hey, I'm going to sue you, mm-hmm. right? My legal position, because I have that specific customized drafted agreement, is bulletproof. I'm at 100%, like I'm at 99.9, nothing is ever 100%. I'm at 99%, my legal position, your legal position is one. And whenever I receive a demand letter like that from my clients, I always write a response on their behalf and I write, okay, person X, I'm really sorry that this happened. Here's a copy of the signed agreement. Here's where we told you what could happen and what the outcomes and the risks and the injuries and blah, blah, blah. Provision 8, you said that you agreed, you know, in exchange for us facilitating for you this, you said you would not sue us. Now you're trying to sue us. So basically moving forward, if you commence a legal action against us, we reserve the right to counterclaim plus legal costs, plus fees, plus court fees, plus you know, the whole kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. And every single time I've responded like that, because my clients have had a strong legal position, the issue has gone away immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's because another person sees like, oh snap, I did sign that and I'm totally in the wrong and I have forfeited my legal rights. And therefore, you know, if I do try to sue them, it is possible that I'll lose a whole lot of money and have to pay their legal fees over this, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So legal position is how strong your argument would be in the event that things escalate and other lawyers get involved and someone wants to sue someone and all of those things. So let's just quickly run through two scenarios. One is, okay, you've had an industry-specific lawyer draft the agreements for you. Mm-hmm. You've got your airtight documents. Something happens. You have the far superior legal position. It, in the event that they come after you want to pursue action against you or claim that you owe the money or whatever it is, hey, boom, I've got the best legal position. I'm not going to negotiate with you. If you write me again, I reserve the right to counterclaim. Now, conversely, let's say there is an awesome heart-leading doctor or naturopath or coach or whoever it is who has done something and they had a conversation and they borrowed a contract from their friend to write down. And now there's an actual problem that has come up. They're going to say, hey, Corey, I need your help. This is the problem that's happening. I got this demand letter from this person. The first thing I'm going to say is, okay, show me the written agreement that you had. I go through the written agreement and I'm like, no, you know, based on this, you remember the first thing I said, that two parties can agree to anything that's not illegal. And that if something is omitted from an agreement, the assumption is that it was the intention to omit that. So if something's not in there, the rule at law is that people intended to not include that expectation in the relationship. Now, when someone has so I'll say, okay, you know what, you're sort of screwed because they have a way better legal position than you do. And that means that we have to now bend in, we're going to have to enter negotiations for a settlement. And that's like the cost is going to be 10x of what it would be to set up agreements in the first place. So you just want to think about, you want to work with a lawyer and have customized agreements so that if there's a problem, you can resolve it immediately and at no cost, as opposed to copying agreements or borrowing someone's agreements. And then if there's a problem that arises, like lawyers are not magicians. So I'm only able to do, like I have a certain ability to assist you to the extent of what your legal position is. But, and I can just tell everyone, it sucks. It sucks when there's a problem and someone copied a template or used the template. And it's sort of like, for me, I'm just looking for that magic provision in the agreement that's not there. And I know that that's the difference between tens of thousands of dollars, but it's something, just coming back to what you said before. It's like, it's something as a heart leading fitness and wellness professional, we never think about. Like, yeah, we start doing what we do because we love it and we're good at it and we want to help people. And maybe we've healed ourselves and we want to help other people heal. But it's not like they give you a textbook of all the things that entrepreneurs need to know. And I think that's why we're having this conversation today.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, gosh, instead our school, our best year, they just didn't have the funding. And at the time when I graduated, there probably just wasn't anything more than Tony Robbins. And it was basically like, here's your Tony Robbins recordings, go market yourself, legal stuff, nothing.
Yeah.
There was like a brief mention of maybe you should talk to a lawyer. I don't know. There's really no lawyers that know anything. I mean, I graduated in 07 from Bastyr. And at that time, you know, I think it was still kind of wishy-washy. Now, here's another thing that I think a lot of people and this applies, I think, to both sides of folks going in to see a doctor, you know, naturopath, whoever. We have the electronic health records that come with templates for telehealth, like procedures. There was the templates that come with COVID procedures, office policies, and it literally gets uploaded automatically to your system. And you can delete them, but a lot of people are like, ooh, all right, sweet, done for me. Let's talk about these kind of templates that aren't necessarily from friends, but they're coming from like the electronic health record systems and different online systems that you can purchase into. Have you found anybody that's had to negotiate one of those a little bit better?
Yes, I have. And again, it's those are going to be those typically are something very general. It can be industry specific, but it's not going to be to you, to the specifics of you and your business and the way that you operate with your clients specifically. So you're right. It's sort of like, I'm trying to think of an analogy, but nothing really comes to mind. It's sort of like, okay, I want to drink coffee. And so think about all the different ways that you can drink coffee and all the different quality of beans and if coffee matters to you, right? And like what you're saying is like, oh, like, you know, someone went to a school and they gave us these documents to use. Like, firstly, they're not liable. You're liable. They're not liable if something happens.
Right.
So there's, it's sort of like, oh, value add, like take our template. But in the same way, it's more like if you think about training, you have a specific body that has certain limitations and certain strengths and ability to do certain things. It's sort of like giving everyone the same training program, like notwithstanding the specific health issues they may have, what their body may be like, their range of motion, past injuries, any of that stuff. And you're like, okay, cool. Well, like I've got this training program. So awesome. Now I'm going to get super fit and reach all of my goals and all those things where it's like, and I know you know this because I know you're passionate about fitness, where the specifics is looking at your body, at your strengths, at your goals and what you want to do and coming up with a program based around that. And now here, just to sort of close the circle on the analogy, instead of your body, it's your business. But remember what I said about duty of care and liability. And so what's at stake here is your business, your assets, especially if you don't have an LLC and you're operating as a sole prop, like these are all of your personal assets that are at risk in entering into this relationship. So it's like, sure, you could have something that's the general thing that everyone can use. But remember, like maybe you decide to just go off the course a little bit, right? So here's an example of what going off the course a little bit might look like. I'm a coach, I'm a health coach, and I come up with a video on demand library of things for people to do, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say all of the agreements that I got from my school, the templates, none of it mentions on demand. And you might think that this is such a little innocuous detail, but interestingly enough, a lot of insurance companies do not insure practitioners for things that are done in on demand videos. So you can do things online, you can do things in person, but an on demand video, insurance companies are very fickle about, and it changes from policy to policy. So, okay. In the same way, the agreements that I've received don't mention anything about on-demand videos. I decided to do it because my friend, you know, showed me a cool platform and I've got all this recorded materials and I'm just going for it, blah, blah, blah. The problem happens with something on on-demand video. That person is going to look at the agreement that you have. Your agreement does not say anything about on-demand video. Boom, there's a crack in the hole. Their legal position now has life. Now you're entering into negotiations for settlement. And negotiations for settlement, it's like, think about being in a car and someone else is driving and commanding the steering wheel. And if you don't feel safe in that car, you're completely out of control. And the way that it works with demands and settlements is that it's based on the strength of your legal position, your ability to either sweep away or become engaged in that. And if someone has a better legal position than you, they are in control of the situation and you are not. And we don't want that for anybody.
Right. You know, that on-demand videos make me think about all the folks that are putting things on YouTube, Instagram, things of that nature, including myself. Now, I always have the statement of I'm not diagnosing, treating, you know, anything of that nature, but I'm going, how do we work in that angle on social media and have something to protect us there? Or is there a way to protect?
Yeah. There is, it depends on the medium. Like, for example, we have a YouTube disclaimer specifically that we draft for our clients, which just has all of the legal verbiage in there about, okay, these are the qualifications. It's only for educational purposes. Consult the medical doctor, like all the things that need to be in there. And YouTube's the easiest of all of them because you can just put that directly at the, like in the description of the video or at the bottom somewhere, right? Because I can tell you that to reverse engineer the situation, you're going to tell someone that you're going to help improve their gut health or something like that.
Right.
And they're going to watch a video and, like, God forbid, let's say they have some terrible allergic reaction or they're claiming that they've now developed some illness because of following these protocols that you're suggesting. They're going to say, okay, well, this person's a doctor and holds themselves out to be a doctor. And I don't know what all their qualifications are, but I'm going to follow whatever I followed whatever they said. And as a result of me following that, they're responsible, duty of care, as it comes up. So mm-hmm. for YouTube, you can have a YouTube disclaimer. And then for social media, the best thing that we can do, the two things that we do at our firm is, one, we draft a social media disclaimer, which is linked on the website, which basically lists all of the different handles. And then you include a copy of that social media disclaimer in your link tree for your link in bio. And that's like, the based on the format, that's the best thing that you can do to protect yourselves.
That's good. That's good. Nice. Yeah, I need to get on that. So I'm calling myself out, folks, just because I think it's really key that we all do what I would call maybe a legal health checkup. Maybe is a term that would be a good thing, because, you know, as I am starting to go more into the online space, I'm starting to change things up with my practice. I know I need a checkup because my stuff is very brick and mortar based. And so folks who are listening to this, if you're starting to go into different realms, if you are starting to coach, you want to coach in any different aspect than you have before, these are things to really be thinking about. And it's, I'm calling myself out. So I'm going to take the initiative and call myself out. And I think what it would be our good next step here, Corey, is for me to go, all right, I'm going to consult with Corey. And then I'm going to do a follow-up to this podcast for you guys, where I tell you what we did and what we found. What do you think of that, Corey? Do you think doing a report of findings on me would be fun to kind of air out my background so folks can kind of see where there's a lot of spaces that we may be missing on things and thinking we have it covered?
Dr. Janine, as you are in the presence of a lawyer, that was a joke. I think I'm 0-3 today. It's just not my day. It's a callback, just to doing it, a callback. Well, firstly, I love the idea and I can't wait for it. As a lawyer, there are confidentiality provisions. So it would be your initiative to share everything that we find.
Yes. But
100%, I think that's super helpful. And I think as a leader for a community, I think for you to be able to demonstrate, and I can be extra attentive, you know, when we have a consultation and chat, to make a note of all the things and then and just sort of summarize every different thing that I saw or what the issues were, while keeping it light and fun, right? Like it's gonna be, and it's like, look, it's a checkup, but it's sort of like getting a checkup for your car so that you know you can drive securely and safely in the future. And it's like, mm-hmm. that's how I always look at these sort of cost of business type services, especially my relationship with my accountants. Yeah. Where it's like for me, because I'm a lawyer, so I can't, it's not fresh. Like I have all of my experiences, but accountant is like the big thing for me, where I'm like, how people probably think about lawyers is how I feel about my accountant or accounting, where I'm like, what is this? I don't know what's going on. And I can just, in 5 years of doing this, the most valuable relationship I have is with my accountant. That's the person who puts me in the best position to succeed and to strategize and plan accordingly. So it's like, yeah, a checkup's a wafer, but it's like, I would just get stoked and be like, cool. You know, I'm one 15 minute conversation away from putting myself on the path of having the strongest legal position for anything that's going to come up against me. And that gives me the freedom and peace of mind to build and grow wherever it is that I want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's the peace of mind. I think that's really important, because a lot of us, you know, in this industry, we kind of fly by the seat of our pants. And then a lot of time we're like, it is a worry. It's a, oh shit, you know, what if this, or, oh, what if this? So I think for everyone, having that peace of mind is a very huge thing. And definitely, if you haven't learned anything from this, folks, don't copy and paste your friend's stuff. And for those of you who are on the other side of it, you could probably tell if it's copy and pasted, because it looks pretty generic. And that's kind of what I was going to end this with, in terms of how to identify pretty generic statements on copied copy for legal statements, and really what folks want to be looking at, you know, like we had talked before, making sure it makes sense in terms of the copy and paste situation. I'm talking in circles at the moment. What am I trying to say here, Corey? I'm trying to say, let's sum up for folks what they need to be doing on the other side. For the folks who are just going into the retreats, going into coaching stuff, let's sum up for them What do they want to pay attention to and takeaways from here, like most important things to protect themselves, but also to be able to get the best out of a relationship that they're going to enter?
Yeah, let's do it. And really simply, I'm just going to, everything that I share is going to be super practical and something that's accessible to everybody to do on their own. Mm-hmm. And that's what's most important day to day, just, you know, being self-sufficient to deal with these things. So first things first, like, you're going to read it. When you see all of these big words that suck and feel uncomfortable and that you don't really know what they mean, that's usually the indication that it's just like, you know, copy and paste it from somewhere and that it's not a great agreement. What I would say is, think about the things that are most important to you in the relationship. So like, if you're paying a whole bunch of money for something, or you're about to make a big investment and then, you know, you're going on a retreat or you're doing this, just think like, okay, what happens if I have to cancel? What happens if I have to reschedule? Is the deposit refundable? What are the circumstances around this? And like, maybe even if you're, and this is what I'd say to everyone, even if you go start reading through the agreement, you're like, I don't understand this. I don't know what this person's talking about. Even aside from the agreement, right? You know, take 5 minutes before you spend thousands of dollars and look at, okay, what are the things that are most important to me? What do I care about? What do I need to make sure is going to be in this agreement? Hop on a call with the person. Hey, I'm so excited to participate. I just wanted to clarify a few things, A, B, C, D. Just like, you know, I didn't really get what was written in the agreement, so I just wanted to clarify here. And then just ask the questions. And like, you have permission to negotiate. You have permission to feel comfortable. And read through the agreement. You don't need a lawyer to negotiate on your behalf. And just think of going into the situation like, what if, you know, unpredictable things happen in my life? How can I navigate this? And will I be able to get my money back? Or will I be able to transfer my spot to another person? Or what if I'm sick the day before? All these sort of things. Like, just ask people, just communicate, just talk. That's all. That's really the most important thing. The most practical takeaway I could say is, before signing something, have a conversation, talk, and then ask the person to make changes into the agreement for you. You could say, hey, do you mind reflecting these changes in the agreement yourself? And if it's a high ticket offer, they're probably going to expend the effort to make modifications on your behalf because they want your money.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Just being upfront and not being afraid to negotiate. That's the big thing. Not being afraid to have a real conversation with someone. And if they're not open to it, not the right fit. That's how I would look at it.
Exactly.
So on the other side of things, there's probably a ton of folks listening right now and they're like, okay, how do I get a hold of Corey? And how do I get the workbook? Because I would have mentioned the workbook in the preview to this podcast, of course, because Corey has a free health coaching legal essentials workbook. So Corey, tell us your website, tell us where folks can find you there, how to get the download, and then also social sites, how to find you, track you, follow you, learn some stuff. Give us a scoop.
Okay. So our website is consciouscounsel.ca. My email address is Corey@consciouscounsel.ca, Corey. You could go to our website, or you could personally write me an email and be like, hey, Corey, I heard you on Dr. Janine's podcast. You were amazing. Your jokes were so funny. I was laughing the entire time. All of them were great. Whatever it is that you need. I believe that we have the workbooks and a health coach checklist on our website. But if you need anything, you want anything, just come to the website, shoot us a note at the contact page at the bottom. We've got an awesome team who will respond immediately. I'm excited to meet more health and fitness professionals and anyone who might have questions. And again, the mission that I'm on is to transform the way legal services are provided for fitness and wellness hard-leaning entrepreneurs. So all I need to do is improve 1% every day. And over the period of my life, I'll make significant growth in doing that. So reach out. I'm here to support you and I'm on your team.
Love it. And if folks are in Canada, US, you've got both sides covered is what I'm gathering here too, just so folks, we can clarify that for folks too.
Yeah, I'm Canadian and I'm called to the bar in British Columbia and I can work in Ontario. And we have clients all over, and then we have an American attorney with us as well who deals with all of our American clients. And I would say in the past 2 years, probably now 80% of our clients are in the United States. So, okay. We're in 15 countries Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the UK, Mexico, Brazil, Colombia, Argentina. So yeah, because people, what I found is that people want to work with lawyers who they feel great about working with and are excited to work with, lawyers who can make the law fun, but also lawyers who understand the specifics and the ins and outs of an industry. So I think that's what sets us apart.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the fact that you have folks in all of those countries, because those are a lot of the countries that folks like to do retreats in, Mexico being a hot one for the US Canadian crew. So no, that's good, because now we've also got some things covered internationally as well. Well, Corey, thank you so much for coming on and demystifying a little bit of the legal world, but also making it fun and just, let's put it this way, approachable. Because I think that is the other big aspect for a lot of folks in our industry, the approachable.
Thank you, Dr. Janine. I really appreciate the opportunity. And if there's one listener out there who this prompts them into action to protect themselves, to protect their family, to protect their assets, to feel better in their commercial relationships, then we have won the day.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, folks, stay tuned, because I'm going to do a recap with Corey on what he finds about my business, and I will share it. I don't care. So legally on my end, don't care. Want you guys to know, because I think it's important to see how many open ends there are, because I know I have some. So Corey, thanks again. We'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Ciao. Bless up.
Hey, Health Junkies, as promised, I did work with Corey and we did an audit on my accounts, let's put it that way, of my legal protection. And I definitely had to get my waiver set for my social media. And I also had to do some new ones since I'm working more coaching online. So Corey identified quite a few different things where I was missing the boat. And he also really helped me to not feel so skeeved out about the whole legal thing and asking folks to sign contracts with me. And actually, I've started to enjoy it, because now, as he stated, it's true. You get a better relationship with your folks. And when you invite people to review the contracts and ask any questions, it's awesome, because people actually will ask me questions, and I love it, because now we can talk up through things. And really the best thing that came from this podcast, of course, now that I've got all my legal stuff set, but also that I understand and come to really embrace the concept of, I want to create a super comfortable relationship with anyone that I work with, and so that both of us are making sure we're a good fit for each other, but also to make sure that there's nothing left unsaid. Like, we communicate well. And so nevertheless, I love Corey's concept of communication through contracts and making sure parties are both satisfied with what is being offered, so that there is no chance of someone just not being upset. So who doesn't like all parties happy? That's the way I like to roll. So anyway, that is my update with Corey, and I just wanted to share that with you guys. And I really enjoyed working with his team, and Chad in particular ended up being my go-to person since Corey's in Canada and I needed someone in the US. But nevertheless, great experience. And if you are looking for someone to help cover you and audit what you've got going on, I highly, highly recommend working with Conscious Consul and Corey or Chad or their team in general. All right. You guys survived another episode of The Health Fix. Stay tuned for more fun episodes like this one, and hit me up if there's something that you are interested in learning about.
Hey, fellow health junkie. Thanks for listening to The Health Fix podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please help support me to get the word out about the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review, and just get that word out. Thanks again for listening.